Good morning to you. Good morning, good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning to you.
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Carroll, CBS News, of WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Ruth Sandviston on The Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Kemp.
Thanks for watching this week's NC Spin.
Now, here is Dave Kaiser.
Hiya, well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yours truly, Sam Beard
and Jim Reed
and Carl Gert.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harriet Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Ennis standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps. For the nocturne, we send as
this is Bill Schultz.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingdom Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dale here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show, and this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters.
WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raw.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hef Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
I'm Mike Raley, the Weekend Gardener. Welcome in, everybody.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
Right, we're back on WPTF, the Weekend Gardener, and we're the NC 55 Plus Lifestyle Show at the sprawling McKimmon Center here at North Carolina State University at Gorman and Western Boulevard. Brother Rufus, are you back with us now? We lost you for a while somewhere out in the hither lands.
Well, I'm not. I maybe not be all here, but I'm there.
All right. Well, well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. I don't know if you heard me talking about, and somebody just sent me, Dave just sent me this old house thing. They were talking about, it was some turf company up in Rhode Island, and they were talking about alternatives to standard turf grass, and they were using something called micro clover. It looks like the white clover, but it's micro clover. They're using that in the landscape instead of lawn grasses. So, see, you're far ahead of your time.
Yeah. Well, the like Gerald said, if you want to have a lawn that, like most people do, unlike me, you don't want to mix clover with it because it'll shade out some other stuff. But I'm like your kind of yard. If it's green, mow it.
Yeah. I've kind of come around to that because I have so many trees and shrubs and this and that, so much root competition and not enough sun. And, fescue, it just, I don't have an irrigation system. And you really, really need for a top-flight fescue lawn, you really need that irrigation system, don't you, Gerald?
You're about impossible without it.
Yeah.
And still tricky.
Yeah, I'm sure
because of
diseases.
Brown patch and all. If you want to have a nice fescue lawn, you need to invest in irrigation. You need to plan on putting out fungicides to prevent the brown patch at least 3 to 4 months in the summertime, and it's a expensive proposition, but that's just how it is. Anything other than that, you're going to be reseeding every year.
You probably will every summertime, and you just got
all that to deal with.
Now, a lot of people are switching to the warm season.
If you've got the sun, but you still, no matter what anybody says, you still got to have 6 hours at least.
I think so for any of the warm season. Yeah. They claim there's a zoysia, too, that may do okay in 5 hours, but, I mean, that's, you know.
Well, what about the St. Augustine? And there's a newer variety of St. Augustine.
So the St. Augustine, I have seen St. Augustine that looked healthy and probably was getting 3 or 4 hours of sunshine. So that is by far the best warm season alternative in the lowest light situations, I guess I would put that. And NC State, the Raleigh St. Augustine is the old variety that's been around forever. And NC State has an improved version of that now. I want to say a Solo, I think, or Sola. Anyway, and so that would be something to try. Now, it's a wider blade. Some people don't like the appearance as good as the thinner blade of Bermuda, but, you know, if it works, it works.
It's very pretty.
And if it's green, it looks good.
Yeah. I see it a lot down at Topsail for folks that try to grow lawn grasses down there. Johnny, what were you going to say?
St. Augustine doesn't take foot traffic as well as some of the other ones, but it does tolerate the shade.
Sure. Johnny Hood used to grow some out at his place there on Penny Road. He was a big advocate of the Raleigh St. Augustine, and I had a neighbor who grew it too. But how does it do with root competition, Gerald?
Well, it's got that rhizome type root that spreads, similar to Bermuda, and sometimes they can go over roots, so it certainly would do better than fescue, fescue is a kind of an independent root, and because of the taller blade, goes deeper in the soil, so certainly it would have a better chance.
I may need to try that. Now, Rufus, how often do you put out that Wyatt Quarles clover seed?
I hit it a little bit fall of the year and a little bit more in the spring.
So it's something that you have to reseed fairly often?
Yes. But then if you get a good stand of clover, it's hard to get a good stand unless you do have some water, like Gerald says. Everything needs some water.
Yeah.
Even clover.
What about sunlight for the clover?
Clover will grow about anywhere.
Yeah. Okay.
Of course, it goes. Anything in the grass thing grows better in sunlight that I know of.
Yeah. Yeah. I think. And fescue even looks better in sunlight.
Yeah.
It is Sola. S-O-L-A is the new NC State, basically an improved version of the old Raleigh St. Augustine. Okay. And I think it's been released enough now that you probably can find it at the sod farms pretty readily. I know the first year or so there were only a couple of sod farms that had it ready, but it should be.
Well, you check with Super Sod, I suppose. And I don't know if I've heard from Monica this morning. Joel, we'll try Billy, check in with the folks at the farmers market, see if we can get a little report from them. Brother Rufus, you're heading. I want to mention again that you're heading to a funeral. You're going to be a speaker.
I'm on the road as we speak to go to the Hayes Barton Baptist Church for a service for my dear friend Gene Boyce, who's been a longtime Raleigh lawyer and a person who who helped with Watergate. He's the one who discovered the Watergate tape that allowed me to go serve a subpoena on Richard Nixon for them. Gene was the person also who had the largest class action suit of state employees who were illegally taxed on their earnings over the years unconstitutionally. He won that. But he, at the same time, was a very humble man. And so I'm very honored to go be speaking at his funeral.
Didn't he write a book?
Well, there is a book being written by him, by a man named Don Reno, and it will be a classic. I highly recommend it.
I bet so.
Never Give Up is going to be the title of the book.
Gene. Now, what about your latest venture into book writing? Where does that stand?
Well, he was a good example of stability that I want to. I've been titling my book. I finally got a few things right. Bring back stability.
Yeah.
I think it's time for that. People quit being in one another's throats and calm down and listen to one another.
That's right. Just like we do on this show.
I hope to have the first draft ready by the end of the year. I've yet to interview my friend Bill Clinton. I've interviewed my old friend, former Governor Jim Martin, who's a splendid person, who showed great civility.
Yeah.
He never said an ugly word about me when we ran against one another, nor did I. It can be done.
He really is an extraordinary person, doctorate in chemistry and the whole deal. So, I mean, he had the brains and the personality and the character and all for that office. I'm just sorry that y'all were running against each other in a landslide year. Mr. Reagan swept away everything.
Well, a good man won. That's the good thing about it. A good person won.
That's true.
He did. And admitted it. I think I wish I had won, but if somebody said if I'd won, my folks would probably just be now getting out of the federal penitentiary.
That's not true. That's not true. Now you might have scaled the wall over there in the middle of the night to go to that Krispy Kreme donut place. That might have been the biggest scandal.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I bet you would have done that, as down-to-earth as you are. Well, there's the governor sitting at the counter drinking him some coffee and a hot donut.
Of course.
Oh, well. You know, life is so funny. Well, we're sorry you're having to be there today, but, you know, what an incredible life. That Gene Boyce had, and we're glad.
Right.
We're glad that you can speak about him.
Well, I'm going to sign off now and tell you that I've never missed a weekend Gardner, and I was determined that today I would not.
Well, absolutely. Well,
we're going to miss
you've called us from the hospital, and you've called us from the hospital and every place else. So, God bless you. We'll see you in the studios next week, sir.
All right, goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
We'll see you, Rufus.
Dear friend.
Get
Rufus
forward.
Edmondson. Rufus Edmondson.
One and only.
The one and only. Couldn't you have seen him there in the middle of the night, late at night, over there getting him some coffee and a donut? And you know, have a bunch of people surrounding him, talking to him. Yeah, boy. All right. So we got Paul from Wendell. Paul, how are you doing today, my friend, in that lovely little town? Well, it's getting a lot bigger, isn't it? So it shouldn't say little town anymore. Paul?
Not in the road enough.
We missed whatever you were saying there. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike.
That's all right.
It's growing, but they're not widening the roads enough.
Well, that's true. That's true enough. You know, they're trying to in Raleigh now, but it's taking a long time to get to that point. But yeah, I'm sure it's overwhelming for for some of the lovely small towns in Lake County and the Triangle.
I got a pretty good shot to get to the freeway in the morning, so it's not too bad. They really did the Wendell Falls interchange there at 87 right before they built all the houses in there. But they did the highway interchange is really good. But anyway, the reason I was calling was to wish Steve and his wife well and JC's family. But I wanted to tell you that the other day I was listening to another radio, public radio program, and I heard our dear friend Carter Hughes' name mentioned.
And it was kidding! Cool. Wow!
I was just driving along for a little bit. I didn't hear the whole thing, but there's a program called Due South, and they mentioned the work that he was doing with the women's groups up in Durham with gardening education.
And yes, in the Hayti community, historic Hayti, and that's the prettiest library that he mans over there, is in charge of near that area. And we were fortunate last year to do a show there. But it's just that they've renovated it. It is so historic. And, what a great man. He really is.
Yeah. I've never met him, but he seems like a really great guy. And it was cool to hear his name.
Paul, hold on a second, and we need to take a quick break, and we'll come right back to you. And we also need to, instead of Billy, Joel, we need to try Monica. Okay, we got Monica. See, this is behind the scenes, folks. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up at the North Carolina 55-plus Lifestyle Show, McKimmon Center at North Carolina State University. You're on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. All right, we're back on WPTF at the NC 55-plus Lifestyle Show with Weekend Gardener. And Paul is with us in Wendell. Paul, you doing anything gardening-wise?
I'm going to pick some tomatoes tonight. and I still have some that are starting to turn some Carolina gold. They're starting to turn gold.
Yeah.
But they're going to come in tonight, and I'm going to cover up the Tabasco peppers, and I just went and bought 2x12 to rebuild another one of my raised beds. So that's what I'm up to.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you have
listen, I didn't want to take up a lot of your time, but I just wanted to let Carter know that at least somebody was listening and heard him, you know, somebody saying great things about him on the radio.
Well, they should. They should. He is one fine person. And a long-time Weekend Gardener friend, just like you.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. And I talk about you guys all the time to people.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We
try to spread the word.
Well, that's a big part of it. It certainly is. Word of mouth. Thank you, my friend.
Take care, everybody.
Yeah. Have a great time. All right. All right, we don't have too much time here, but we got another Paul, and this is very biblical, I think, all these Pauls. So, prophecies of Paul. Paul, good morning to you. Apex,
no,
I believe.
It's Carl from South Apex. Hey,
Carl, okay.
Yeah,
Joel, you need to come down here and get your ears tested. All right, Carl, with me, Paul. Carl was not an apostle. Go ahead.
Yeah, the subject is canna lily. I've had one that in a 5-gallon pail that I put in the garage last year, but this year I have 6. And can they sit out over this cold spot here in a 5-gallon, 5-gallon can out there okay, or are they going to freeze and get destroyed?
Well, if it freezes, it will knock out the plant and the foliage, but it's not going to kill that rhizome root. It'll come back for you next year. But if it had blooms on it and you were wanting to keep it looking good, then you wouldn't want it outside in 27, 8, 9 degrees.
Yeah.
You say you wouldn't?
No, if you had blooms on it, that cold is going to kill the foliage and any blooms on it. Now, it won't kill the root system. It would still put out new growth for you next year.
Okay, yeah, well, and this year's over with anyhow. They're sort of crummy.
Right, all right. Yeah.
So I took them off the deck and put them out there out of the road. So I can just leave them like that over winter in a 5-gallon container?
You should be fine. The only thing that might would concern me in the container, say we had a night that was going to be 18 degrees low. You know, if there was a night when it was going to get, you know, low 20s or into teens, then I might wrap, pile leaves around the bucket or put a quilt around it, something to, so the roots can't get, you know, super duper cold.
Yeah. So, okay. So anyhow, just leave it, and everything that's going to get frozen down here now can just be clipped off and put in the garbage or wherever you put it.
That's correct.
And, so anyhow, that should cover it. And I'll just leave them go. You know, these things grow and
like
grow
crazy.
And grow and divide. Oh, my goodness. So they should be divided in the next spring, you think? Or can I just leave them in the 5-gallon container next year?
I'd leave them in the bucket, and when you get ready next year, divide them. Of course, you can almost divide them anytime.
That's
unbelievably tough plant.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, okay. That'll do it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carl. Would be Paul.
A.K.A. Paul.
All right. Boy, I tell you, we're burning some rubber this morning driving the weekend gardener truck. We only got 30 minutes left. We'll talk to Miss Monica, sweet Miss Monica, coming up after the news here on WPTF. We're at the NC 55 Plus Lifestyle Show at the McKimmon Center at NC State University. We're back at WPTF. This is WPTF, but we're at the McKimmon Center on North Carolina State's campus. You know, what has always fascinated me, guys, is the crabapple trees out here. They have zillions of crabapple trees. And I'm sure they are it's kind of a huge test plot. But why crabapples, I wonder?
I don't know, other than they're really pretty when they're bloom and they're aggravating as the dickens when you have to prune them and cut the grass around. So, having had to experience both of those things.
They used to be planted around the brickyard in the middle of the campus there. They used to have them. They'd make a mess when they dropped
fruit and everywhere. It's just interesting. I'd like to know why crab apples, because it's getting so hot that it's hard to grow apples and...
When I was here, I never heard anyone fess up to who or why.
Is it a prank?
No, not that many planted.
But they've been there for a long time. I don't know how often they've had, but they look very,
it's beautiful when they're in bloom.
The symmetry is unbelievable, so they haven't done a lot of changing out. I don't know how old these plants are, but it's really incredible. It's a good lesson in proper pruning for a fruit tree, because they do that, of course, every year. But if you've ridden by the McKimmon Center, and it's not just here, it's on the other side of the road too. Those huge plots of crab apples. But I would like to know sometime who. And I don't know if maybe I've never asked Mark Wethington. I'll ask him sometime. But we would like. We would like to know why. I love crab. My wife has made her favorite is crabapple jelly, and she got a lot of them this year from her cousin who lives up in Sparta, and she has several trees. They work a little better up there. They're more a little happier. So crabapple jelly, I mean, it's a little bit tart, a little bit sweet.
Yeah.
So it has crabapples are nice. At least for that purpose, but caring for them or caring for any fruit tree is kind of tedious. I mean, when I was growing up, everybody had an apple tree or something in the backyard or a pear tree, and you know, they die eventually, but they produce fruit for years. But now, you got to go much farther west. I don't know how is it up in in Roxborough.
They struggle. I mean, you really have to keep them sprayed. Yeah. Of course, you have to keep them sprayed in the mountains, but they do struggle. We've got several apples in our yard, and the Jonathan that we've got does really well. The problem with the squirrels, will get the fruit before we even get.
And they just take a little bite out of them. They don't.
No, they'll take the whole thing away.
Oh, yeah, yes. Oh my gosh! Yeah,
they took the whole fruit away, and it's way before they get ripe. I mean, you can't eat them when they're taking them. So
no.
That's our biggest nemesis with
like the birds getting the figs.
Do you feed them to your animals at all? Do you have any horses?
Don't have any horses. No.
Okay.
Levon used to have a horse, but we don't have any horses now. Just the cows, as far as livestock and chickens and turkey and peacock.
Yeah, they don't care about apples, do they?
No. They love the cherry tomatoes, though. Well, we've got a cherry tomato that comes up in a compost pile every year.
What good for them?
They're still ripening and coming on. So
everybody's got to eat.
Yeah.
Well, how about that? So, I mean, any. We're getting some cold weather this week. What about vegetable gardens, cool season vegetables?
I think most of your cool season stuff is all right. Lettuce would be a little bit of a problem with a 29 degrees, but you probably could cover it up and you might survive on that. And of course, if you grow collards, you was finally ready for all this frost to make them sweeter.
Sweeten them up.
That's a big benefit for collards growing. Yeah,
At church, somebody on the grounds committee planted some in an area we had tested, and we found that there's a lot of phosphorus, I guess phosphorus or phosphate, phosphorus, I get it, and you can't, it never goes away in the soil. I don't know if somebody over the years just added a lot of high phosphorus fertilizer, but the lettuce is really happy there. Amazingly.
Yeah. A lot of times there's phosphorus, and they call it legacy phosphorus. It's not available to the plant. Sometimes it gets tied up in the soil. So, a lot of times we recommend people to do soil tests. We always recommend soil tests, but also tissue samples come in handy too to see, because you can see
the
from the soil test see if the plant's actually taking up what's in the soil.
Yeah.
Because there may be some adjustments there you need to make in order for the plant to be able to take the nutrient actually into it.
And if it looks good, leave it alone.
Yeah, absolutely. Miss Monica, you run into problems of too much phosphorus in the soil out your way.
Look right there.
Miss Monica, you snuck up on us. Turn the microphone around there. Well, did you just stop by? That's good.
I decided to come over and see you.
Well,
I heard
good.
You were close by.
We're just kind of sitting here. Is there anything we could do for you?
I don't.
You want a
so.
Bag? Did you get you a
Actually,
bag?
They did. I did.
I know you got to have
I
bags.
Did get a bag.
Yeah.
You know, like I need another bag.
People love bags, so.
Yes.
And they're giving away bananas over there too. That's the first person we talked to was about the hearing and found out that potassium is really good for your hearing. Good for your ears.
Well, I know a few folks that might need lots of bananas.
now we got to take a break, Miss Monica. But we'll be
That's
back
fine.
And we'll talk to Monica from. She's not at the State Farmers Market, so she's going to have to ad lib this morning. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF, but not a whole lot more. Okay, we're back. Just a few minutes left in the show. NC55 Plus Lifestyle Show here at the Jane S. McKimmon Center, where all of the crab apples in the world are they? We see the blooms, so I assume they are fruiting rather than ornamental. So, wow. I wonder if they'd let Melissa come out and pick some so she can make some jelly.
I don't think there's a soul that would care.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd probably ask for forgiveness rather than permission.
Yeah, so that's an idea. She has to get them wherever she can. Now, people they don't grow very well around here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's amazing that it's the things that they do at this university. You know, Tony Avett's so famous for proving that this plant that you say cannot grow here can grow here.
Yeah.
But NC State is obviously doing the same thing with these crab apple trees were planted at McKimmon Center for a combination of reasons, including their ability to support pollinators like bees, provide food and habitat for local wildlife, and enhance the landscape with their aesthetic appeal. As a horticultural institution, NC State also benefits from having crab apples on campus for demonstration purposes, showcasing a versatile plant that can be used for landscaping and food production like jams and jellies. And crab apples are excellent for supporting local ecosystems and wildlife. They're attractive, educational, all of that. And that's from AI.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's from Brother AI. So that's, it makes sense. That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
You know, if you got any common sense, that's probably.
And it was a lot of them.
Somebody went overboard. Yeah. Let's plant just a few of those for a demonstration garden. No, let's plant several acres. But at any rate, you got acres and acres of stuff out at the farmer's market this morning, don't you?
We do. Of course, we're still hanging on to a little bit of that summer harvest, but after the upcoming week, it sounds like there may be a few things that get zapped. So I was getting some texts from some of my farmers yesterday that were saying we're out stripping the fields, you know, if they had tomatoes or anything else that are still hanging on. They were out trying to clean the vines and getting everything in that they could, that they don't think will survive, you know, the freeze that they're talking about coming up this week. So we should still have some things because, you know, some of the stuff like that they're picking, like some were picking their green tomatoes and things like that. So they'll still be bringing those in for a little bit. So right now you can still go out and get just a plethora of peppers, hot, sweet, all the different kinds, still good selection of tomatoes. And some of the summer squash and zucchini, things like that you can still find. And, of course, the North Carolina apples are in full swing right now. Several different varieties of those, as well as the apple cider. Sweet potatoes, new crop of those are coming in. And some of the biggest collards I've ever seen. As a matter of fact, I posted some this morning on our Facebook page that one of our farmers is bringing in. And they're huge. So with getting ready for Thanksgiving, of course, you can come in and get just everything you need to get that Thanksgiving meal together at the State Farmers Market.
Well, do you have to make sure that the collards have been hit by frost?
Well, that's
to sweeten
what,
them a little bit
a
before
lot of
they
folks,
are.
Yes, that's kind of what I think they're good either way, but I do always hear that they're a little bit sweeter whenever they get bit by frost. They're not quite as bitter.
I didn't know
bitter.
If y'all had any particular standard out there for acceptance.
No,
well, some people can't stand it, can't wait. So when they first see some, they buy them in September.
That's
now,
right.
How do you season your collards?
Well, I'll be quite honest. I've never cooked collards myself. I don't have many folks in my family that are in too favor of eating collards.
Do they like turnip salad?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, so I eat them, but my mother-in-law cooks them. Of course, some grandparents, my mama did cook them some. That was one of the things she never cooked too often.
Yeah, my mother didn't either. It was usually for Thanksgiving Christmas, that type
but,
of thing.
Just pretty much the traditional way, though, is what I've been around is with your ham hocks. You know, the State Farmers Market restaurant has a little bit of secret ingredients, I think, they throw into theirs to take some of that bitterness away.
Right. And they throw in a little pepper, too.
Yes. And they do. And I've seen where they put in a little bit of onion and some folks put some sugar, you know, just to kind of bring that bitterness off a little bit. So lots of different ways. Everybody has their own little favorite way. Some folks, cook them and then fry them in a frying pan or a cast iron pan. I've seen
Do they batter it?
No, they just kind of fry them up. Just put them in there and almost like saute them.
That sounds good, doesn't it, Gerald?
Yeah. So I've seen various ways. I've heard some people say they eat collard sandwiches, too.
Maybe cornbread batter. On those collards.
Well, or maybe just some cornbread with the collards. That always goes well together. So.
I like turnip salad better.
Yeah.
Me too.
I like turnip salad and creasy greens and what are some of the other greens?
Mustard greens.
Mustard greens and turnip salad.
And we
primarily.
Can't forget kale.
Kale,
Rufus is not here.
Some of those highfalutin folks that like that in their salads, you know.
Yeah, spinach.
You're talking about that stuff can be bitter.
Yeah.
It can make you better.
Yeah. A lot of folks like making kale chips. That's a pretty popular thing nowadays.
Well, it's certainly good for you.
Mm. Yeah.
But all of it.
Yeah. Well, definitely around the holidays. And that's me. I can eat collards, and if I eat them around the holidays, that's, you know, that's usually good for me. I do like them better than I used to, though. I'll put it that way. It's one of those things, I think, where my tastes
grow on you.
Yes, where through the years I can manage to eat some here and there. So, but a lot of people love them, and it's a staple for the holidays.
What else do you have out there that might be nipped by the cold weather?
Well, gracious, just some of the things like cucumbers. I think I mentioned peppers and things like that as well. But again, a lot of the summer harvest we still have hanging in there, but come get it while it's in. A few more weeks, we won't have quite as much of a selection, but there'll still be a lot of products there. All of your cool season products, the tunnel grown strawberries should be showing up anytime now, that we'll be having those as well. We'll also have firewood. That's something a lot of folks, we still have some. We actually have some now, if anybody's wanting to stock up.
Well, they'll need it Monday and Tuesday, yes, I'll tell you.
Definitely. So we do have that. And also all the cakes, pies, and local honey. We have fresh salsa and so many other things that you can grab if you're getting ready for a holiday meal or you're just wanting something to enjoy yourself. You can come out. We do have some of our bakeries that are taking special orders now, even just for Thanksgiving. We have all the meats, dairy products. We have a few vendors that do turkeys. There's some of them that take orders ahead of time, so you may want to get on their list if you're looking a fresh turkey. And we have a great selection up in our market shops of all the cakes, pies, breads, and things like that you can grab and go. Or like I said, you may want to get on a place an order if you're looking something special. Jams, jellies, the relishes. Sometimes those relish or chow chow go along well with the collards. Right. So that's always something good to grab and have on hand also. We do have the fresh seafood also available. Some folks go the seafood route instead of the turkey route for the holiday. So you can find that at the market as well.
Yeah, incredible.
I ate at the farmer's market seafood restaurant.
Did you?
NC Seafood.
Good
you,
stuff.
You do that fairly often, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, farmer's market restaurant and is open right now. The and Kemp's place there, the seafood restaurant, will be open at 11.
Yes.
So very soon. You can get in line right now. And a market grill. That
yes.
You get you a Rufus dog. How did the Korean festival go last week?
It went well. We had good attendance, had a lot of good vendors, and apparently a lot of good food because there was a pretty long line most of the time where everybody was standing in line for. So we were glad to have that and a lot of fun. They did some of their different festive like dances and things like that. That they also had some entertainment on taekwondo demonstrations. And
I understand
so
last year Rufus was doing some Korean shagging.
I understood that too. I just hate I missed it, so we could have gotten it on
well,
video.
Well, he says he danced. I don't know. I know he's a good shagger, but I don't know what else.
He put a twist into the
and a shout.
Shag, right there, you go. We do have, as Gerald mentioned, our fall craft fair coming up next weekend. So we're excited about that. It's Friday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., free admission, free parking, hundreds of craft items to choose from. And if you stop by this weekend, you'll see a little bit of a sneak peek because we have a lot of our craft vendors actually that are there
nice.
This weekend that come in from time to time just for weekends. And next weekend we'll have even just more. I mean, usually around 100. Vendors,
now,
so.
Gerald is not going to have tomatoes, tomato plants out there. What are you going to have?
The bottles that I paint, I'll be.
They have lights in them.
Yeah.
They're very decorative.
It's hard to describe.
I
come see.
Yeah.
Right.
They're beautiful. They really are.
That's
and
right.
I don't know where you got all that creativity.
I don't either, but I'm about burnt out from painting. I've been, you know.
Do you do any other kind of painting?
No.
No?
No, I don't even like to paint at the house.
I don't blame you. That's tedious. I get it all over me.
Oh, yeah.
So
there's a lot of unique gift ideas. It's always neat to see everything that folks make. Sometimes it's something made from nothing almost or junk turned into a little craft, as you could say.
That's true.
It's really neat to see all the different crafts and all the creativity that goes into it. So come out and support those guys next weekend during our fall craft fair.
We don't have too much time. Let me take a call, okay. Monica. Pam is with us. Pam, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're great. How can we help you?
Yep. I have a question about acorns. I've never had so many in my yard. I
mean, is that going to mean we're going to have a real cold winter, Pam, you think?
Probably without question.
We had a real good spring.
But they're actually already budding out and trying to attach themselves into the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we've never had this many before. Is it just something going on, or?
I don't know. You have to kind of watch the squirrels and see what they do. I don't know. A lot of things in nature that will give you an idea. But, yeah, there have been a lot. And, boy,
they account that for a good growing season. You had a good growing season.
Well, you know, everything really looked good this year. All the blooming plants, everything looked healthy except for that drought period. We thought corn was going to really be a showcase crop this year, but they got a little drought toward the end. Yeah.
Pecans have pecan tree in the yard. It's got a bumper crop.
We'll walk out. They'll hit us on top of the head.
You got to watch that. You need a special helmet for that, Pam. But don't park your car under an oak tree.
Right. Anyways, I wanted to give a shout out to the UNC basketball team. Go Heels. We won last
night. All right.
Hopefully our football team will
pretty much
win today.
We got one UNC guy here, so Gerald,
yay.
You can speak up.
Been a while since I could say yay.
Letting him sit at the table.
I know we've got three NC Staters here, so that's all right, Pam. My daughter went there, my sister went there, and almost went there.
So look, do you think these acorns are going to actually, the ones that have, we tried to dig them out.
Sprouted.
Do you think they'll attach to the ground or we can just blow them away?
What does she have anything to worry about?
You don't have anything to worry about. I mean, it's always possible that a couple of them could sprout, but it's, if it's somewhere where you mow the lawn or something, you're probably going to get them anyway. So I wouldn't really worry about it.
All right.
Well, Pam, you have a wonderful day, and thank you for calling.
You too. All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. And of course, you can hear the UNC basketball game on WPTF today, a little later on. So, Miss Monica, you going to head to work? Or are you going home now?
Oh yeah, I'll be headed back out there. And one last thing, I did want to mention: Logan's has their Leave the Light sale going on. Full Stop Garden Center, as they're transitioning from fall to winter, they have 20% off store wide.
Nice.
So be sure to stop by and shop with those guys and enjoy a day at the State Farmers Market.
They have a lot of stuff packed into that property.
They do.
They have steel products. I know. And they have plants and, the fertilizers and all the things.
And they're getting all the Christmas decorations out, so starting to
When are the Christmas trees going to be here, Monica?
We will start seeing Christmas trees shortly after the craft fair. So a lot of them will start bringing them in just as soon as we get the craft fair over with. They'll be coming in right behind us with Christmas trees.
Very true, yeah. Yes. I mean, boy, this fall has been incredibly fast.
It has definitely flown by. And today, the weather, it's just beautiful today. So it's a great day to get out and work in your yard or come out to the market and shop around and support all of our local vendors.
Very true, very true. So, we appreciate you folks at the Farmers Market. I wish you did this more often. Could be in the studio with us or right here. But thank you.
Thank you for all your hard work.
And, Stephen, your kids all right?
Everybody's hanging in there. Good. Busy.
Well, I bet.
I think my son helped open up duck season this morning. I didn't even realize it was starting.
Did you hear him open up duck season?
Well, no, but he showed up at home, last night, and he's going duck hunting this morning.
Okay. Where does he go duck hunting? Does he go out to Madamaskeet?
He has a few different locations.
Oh, some secret locations.
Not going to tell you.
Yeah, as he always says, behind the post office. That's what he tells us.
Right. Oh, me. Well, that's good. So, oh, you ducks, watch out.
I know, right? Oh, my goodness. He loves it, so.
Well, so the craft fair, remind us again.
This coming weekend, Friday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., free parking, free admission, hundreds of craft vendors, including Gerald.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's incredible. Really is. All right, Gerald and his bottles. And I mean, they're very pretty.
They are.
We have 1 minute. Gerald, anything, boys? What, Johnny? Anything we
don't forget about Monday night?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
bring
yeah,
in if you got any tropical plants out of the shed and already brought in.
Yeah,
and cover anything. Cover some things up.
And you probably can put them right back out because I looked at the 10-day after that and there wasn't nothing anywhere close.
Yeah, it's like 49 for a high. A couple of days are in the 40s, and then it goes up to 60s.
Yeah, it's going right back
by
up,
midweek. So,
yeah.
Folks at the farmers market are going to have to prepare, and so are you.
That's right.
Yep. Well, thank you all, Miss Monica, Johnny Coley, and congratulations to your master gardeners. And they're wrapping up their
class.
Their classes, yeah. And then they got to start working some more.
That's right. Get some volunteer.
All that payback. Gerald, you got anything going on?
I'm putting up another greenhouse.
Today?
Yeah. Working on it right now as we speak.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to go out and check out those crab apple trees. We're at the NC 55 Plus Lifestyle Show. It's here until 3 o'clock today at the McKimmon Center. Come on out. And we love you very much, Joel and Harrison, thank you very much. We enjoy doing the show with you guys here on the Weekend Gardener.